Hey there, everybody. You're listening to CITR 101.9 here at UBC. We are coming to you live from the traditional, ancestral, unceded territory of the Musqueam people, and we'd like to take this time to acknowledge and thank them for housing us here at CITR.
And now, the moment you've been waiting for. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Finding the Funny. With your host, Nico McEwen. Hi there, ladies and gentlemen. This is episode 3 of Finding the Funny on CITR 101.9. Today's episode, Comedy in Movies. That's right, we have talked about a variety of different stand-up subjects, such as swearing in comedy and new material for new crowds. But today we're going to dive into the film world, talking about jokes and comedic scenes in a variety of films. What is the first film we're going to be showing off to the listeners? Well, I'll tell you. Film number 1/scene/joke is the film... Drumroll, please. Anchorman. That's right. Our first clip is the Sex Panther scene from Anchorman. First, a precautionary warning. As a station, we here at CITR believe in playing content with artistic and cultural merit. This may include content that could be construed as offensive. If you or anyone around you is sensitive to such material, please feel free to tune out of this program and tune back in for a later program. You've been warned. Enjoy.
What cologne are you going to go with? London Gentleman or... Wait. No. Hold on. Blackbeard's Delight.
No. She gets a special cologne. It's called Sex Panther by Odeon. It's illegal in 9 countries. Yep. It's made with bits of real panther. So you know it's good.
It's quite pungent.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, it's a formidable scent. It stings the nostrils. In a good way.
Yeah.
Brian, I'm going to be honest with you. That smells like pure gasoline.
They've done studies, you know. 60% of the time, it works every time.
That doesn't make sense.
That is the Sex Panther scene in Anchorman. If any of you haven't seen Anchorman, I, of course, highly recommend it. It is comedy gold, just like this scene, which utilizes one of the main things about a joke, irony. He's trying to be so sexual and charming, and every detail he lists about the cologne, we realize just how terrible it is. And then, of course, the last statistic he claims, the movie... knew to be self-aware enough, even for the also dumb character of Ron Burgundy, to reference the fact that what he had said doesn't make any sense. More and more movies are becoming self-aware as a style of comedy. I believe, actually, 22 Jump Street was one of the most self-aware movies of all time, and it's a really, really cool thing that's happening, I think, in the film world. Because it's something that stand-up comedians obviously get to utilize, the fact that they're performing a show live in front of a crowd. But with a movie, you don't always get that opportunity to play off the crowd, I guess you could say. So it's a different set of skills, not necessarily better or worse, but to be able to make a movie in a way that has humor that I guess wouldn't be traditional to the story taking place within the movie, but nonetheless, they're able to be funny with it. Anchorman is a really, really good example of this, as this movie is entirely out of this world, or not out of this world, but it's a form of absurdist, utilizing such stupid characters and making them so funny. And all the while, it's also a huge credit to the acting, that the reason why you still watch it, opposed to other movies with dumb characters trying to be funny, and that doesn't always pan out. these actors do a great job of making you still invested in the story that's taking place, which is obviously a form of love story slash competitive battle for top news anchor job. So yeah, definitely watch Anchorman. Huge cast, pretty old movie. They obviously have a second, so you'll be able to watch that. And yeah, we will move on to our next aspect of comedy in movies. I started to mention 22 Jump Street and self-awareness, just because I think this is a really prevalent area for movies right now, and it's becoming more and more used. So we'll see how 22 Jump Street plays around with that right after an ad from our sponsors.
When you join Balloon Club, we guarantee that you will be able to make a balloon poodle within the first day.
Here at the UBC Ant Club, we just like to talk about ants and compare ant farms. It's really cool.
Paperclip Club is all about, well, paperclips mostly.
At Blah Club, you can blah, 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 blah.
Explosion.
There's only one club worth joining at UBC, and that's CITR 101.9 FM. We got free tickets to shows, whirly pops, professional help in all types of audio engineering, passes to festivals, crazy parties, live band swag, all types of crazy people. Our programming manager rides a motorcycle. There's freestyle rapping, Nardwar the Human Serviette, the vinyl and record libraries, Discorder magazine, free studio recording, and it sure beats the hell out of Paperclip Club, which is a thing that I just made up because I work at
CITR.
So come check us out on the floor of the Student Union Building. We got all types of crazy shit for you to do. Or check us out online at www.citr.ca.
Hey, 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 we are back. And we are going to play a clip from 22 Jump Street.
They made us! They're going to kill us! Jacob! Where are you going? I think we're tripping. Oh, fuck! I'm having a bad trip! We're having a bad trip!
I think we are tripping.
This is great. My side's so much scarier than yours.
Oh, shit. Your trip sucks. You should come over here. It's way better.
Okay. Ah, some kind of weird split screen!
Double clip! Double clip! Two clips of 22 Jump Street.
How you bitches like Jump Street now?
Hey!
Y'all see this shit? 22 Jump Street is the lick. And I got a big ass raise to babysit you two fuckers again. Designed it myself. We got an espresso bar. Thinking about a shark tank over there.
Ooh, I like sharks.
Fuck a 21 Jump Street. And fuck a Korean Jesus.
Ooh, Cap, come on. Korean Jesus is right there.
That's Vietnamese Jesus. See, this is a Vietnamese church. You racist, sacrilegious sack of shit. Look at that. Vietnamese Jesus just dripping swag good.
As you heard, both those clips have moments of self-awareness. The first clip is the tripping scene from 22 Jump Street, in which Jonah Hill actually refers to the split screen that is taking place to display the two different types of trips that the two characters are having. With one character, Jonah Hill, having a bad and negative trip, and with Channing Tatum's character having a fun and positive trip. And then Channing says, come over here, and well, you heard it. He hits on the wall and says some sort of weird split-screen thing. That's a really funny bit because the audience is literally seeing the character, not Jonah Hill, but the character, commenting on the fact that this make-believe aspect of his life through drugs is ending up in movie-style change, I guess you could say. Then the next clip I played was Ice Cube introducing them to the new offices, but he's also really introducing the new movie. He's basically saying 22 Jump Street is bigger and better and more awesome than 21 Jump Street, and by doing that, it's a direct comparison of the two movies. It's their producer's way of basically saying, this is going to be sick, get ready. And that's really fun for a viewer to be able to have prior knowledge. It's something that sequels obviously get an upper hand in than single story movies or single series movies that are kind of one time and then they're done. More and more movies are doing sequels, partially because the movie industry is so kind of dominated with productions that are trying to sell product or sell some sort of franchise aspect. That's why superheroes are so huge right now, because of all the side money you can make from that, I guess. So I definitely think we'll see more and more sequels that are being self-aware to the prior movies. But 22 Jump Street obviously does a killer job of that. The one joke I wanted to find so badly was one of the characters, I think it's Ice Cube, but maybe it's Jonah and Channing. But basically they reference the fact that the glass cubicle, which Ice Cube now resides, looks like a cube of ice. And that's a huge play on the actor that is Ice Cube. But obviously that's not the character. So it's just super fun. I love those kinds of things. And this movie obviously does a great job of it. All right, speaking of superhero movies and how we're talking about sequels and franchises are a dominant feature in the movie industry and how they can be used so well for humor, I can't make a comedy in movies in 2017 and not reference Deadpool. Deadpool really changed the game. I think they broke records for top grossing unrated or R-rated film or something like that. And obviously, it's about a character. This is one thing that's really cool, and it just goes to show how old this format of comedy is, but the character of Deadpool, even in the original comics, is a self-aware comic book character. I think one of the only ones, if not the, I assume there's probably others by now, but Deadpool is very revolutionary in that sense, and so for any super fans, I guess you could say, having a character that was this kind of meta voice in the comic book universe was a real treat, I guess you could say. And I personally think Deadpool did a really good job of that. Ryan Reynolds, I think, used that character to create this humor really, really well. So let's play a clip from Deadpool, but you know how we like to do it over here. How about another clip from our sponsors first? Stick around. You don't want to miss the Deadpool clip.
Timmy, your friends are here to see you. Get off the computer, will you?
Hey, Timmy, do you want to come out and shoot hoops with us at the park?
You know what? I'm actually busy playing on the computer right now.
Whatever. You never come out to play with us anymore. Let's go, guys.
30% of young adults are prone to stroke, and this statistic is on the rise. Stroke prevention starts early.
Are you sure you don't want to play? My cousin's in town and he's playing too.
Strokes can be prevented by regular exercise, a healthy, balanced diet, and sleeping well.
You know what? I'm coming too. Wait up for me, guys.
Follow UBCHSF on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook for regular tips on healthy living.
Strong heart, strong start.
Hey there, we are back with Finding the Funny on CITR 101.9. For any of you listeners who want to contact us at Finding the Funny, all you have to do is tweet at Finding the Funny. You can let us know all the things you think about the discussion going on in the episode or just your general thoughts on comedy in general. We want to hear from local comedians, from UBC students, from anybody and everybody who has opinion on jokes in movies. So far we've played Anchorman clip and a 22 Jump Street clip, and now we're moving on to a clip from Deadpool. And what we actually want to do this episode, instead of playing the clip, I'm going to play a whole segment from a YouTube channel. You guys may know the YouTube channel. It's Mr. Sunday Movies. I won't play the whole thing, but I'll play part of it so you can kind of hear what I'm referring to, and I'll tell you my spin on it.
The movie begins with a very self-aware opening credits, mimicking the beginning of a lot of superhero movies including Spider-Man, or even the end credits of The Avengers, but it never refers to anybody by name. For example, Ryan Reynolds is God's perfect idiot, and the director is some overpaid tool. The highway sequence that it takes place on is actually a recreation of leaked test footage from a bit under 2 years ago that got the ball rolling on this project due to the fan reaction. On the highway, we get street signs that nod to Deadpool creatives, including comic book writer Fabian Nicieza, director Tim Miller, and the last names of special effects coordinators, O'Rourke, Shaham, and Silver. Later we see Deadpool creator Rob Liefeld in a bar, who Wade Wilson refers to directly, and Marvel legend Stan Lee appears as a strip club announcer. This may also be a reference to the Stripperella series that he created in 2004. Ryan Reynolds is obviously no stranger to the superhero genre, and this movie isn't shy about making fun of his less than stellar efforts including Green Lantern. We see what looks like a Green Lantern trading card in the opening sequence, plus Wade Wilson requests at one point that his supersuit not be green or animated. Deadpool's last live-action appearance in Wolverine Origins doesn't get a pass either, as that he requests that he doesn't have his mouth sewn shut, like he did in that movie, and we also see that Deadpool action figure, and he even has one of the exact same lines, about how he gets to travel to far-off exotic places, meet new and exciting people, and kill them. Most of the characters we see are ripped directly from the comics, including Weasel, Blind Owl, Ajax, Angel Dust, Vanessa, or Copycat, whose powers of mimicking is hinted at where she says that she's played many roles. Lots of X-Men stuff is also in this film. After all, it is set in the same universe. Explicitly, though, we get the two characters of Colossus and Negasonic Teenage Warhead, who wears an actual colourful X-Men costume, which is something Bryan Singer seems reluctant to do. Deadpool mentions at one point McAvoy or Stewart, referencing both actors who have played the role of Professor X. We see the X-Mansion, which is hinted at being destroyed regularly, like it does in the comics, and what may also happen in X-Men Apocalypse. It's nice to see the Blackbird, a direct call out to Beast, and how Deadpool wants him to stop shitting on his lawn, how the reason we only see two X-Men is because of budgetary restraints, and the song X Gone Give It To Ya plays when Deadpool teams up with the X-Men to defeat Ajax. Spider-Man, despite being owned by another studio, is mentioned quite a bit. A variation on the line, "Go get him, Tiger," is used twice, and we get the phrase, "With great power comes great irresponsibility," a twist on the words Spider-Man lives by. We also see a sign for Parker Boulevard, a nod to Peter Parker, and Deadpool says that he looks like he's been bitten by a radioactive Sharpei, in the same way that Spider-Man was bitten by a radioactive spider.
Alright, so there is that. I really thought he was going to actually play the clips as opposed to just explaining them all himself. So one thing I will play for you right now is one of my favorite references, and we'll start talking more about self-awareness in movies after.
I get why you're so pissy, but your mood's never going to brighten till you find this woman and tell her how you feel.
What do I keep telling you, Mrs. Magoo? She wouldn't have me. If you could see me, you'd understand.
Looks aren't everything.
Looks are everything. You ever heard David Beckham speak? It's like he mouth sexed a can of helium. Think Ryan Reynolds got this far on his superior acting method?
Love is blind, Wade.
No. You're blind.
I honestly love that scene so much. Both actors killing it comedically with their timing. And okay, so that's the joke Deadpool makes regarding Ryan Reynolds, basically saying he's a shitty actor. And that's just such a good kind of nod to everyone watching the movie. Obviously, we know Ryan Reynolds is Deadpool. But yeah, that's kind of one of the most perfect ways of describing self-awareness in a movie. And Deadpool does it really well. But there's lots of other ways that a movie can be funny, obviously. More traditional jokes, jokes about scenes, jokes about what's going on. And so we're going to talk about some of those. But first, if you want to make sure your voice is heard on the topic of self-awareness in movies and how it's being used for comedy and whether it's being overused, make sure you let us know at Finding the Funny on Twitter. If you don't tweet us, how are we ever going to know that you disagree with us? Obviously, if you agree with us, let us know about that too. That'd be great. Whoa, hey there, everybody. Okay, we're already past halfway of the episode. One thing I like to do on this show is talk to all Vancouver comics out there, stand-up or filmmakers of any kind, and let you guys know my thoughts on what's going on with the Vancouver industry for comedy and how you guys can get more involved. You guys, so many films have been filmed in Vancouver. We have such a hot industry. Obviously, you know we're Hollywood of the North. Deadpool, I already referenced. It was filmed in Vancouver. Ryan Reynolds, a good, proud Canadian. 50 Shades, that garbage movie, was filmed here, but it's okay. It's still something for you guys to get involved in. So many movies. Many of you probably are in love with the Christmas movie Elf. Well, you might not have known it was filmed here in Vancouver. Hot Tub Time Machine, Planet of the Apes, that the BFG, I think, came out. Star Trek 3. So many. Superman, Man of Steel, was filmed in Vancouver. Entirely filmed here. Parts of it were filmed here. And yeah. So basically, the reason why I'm telling you about all these films filmed in Vancouver is to show you that there are opportunities. So how do you get involved? One of the top ways I've been told from various filmmakers and producers is that starting literally from the bottom as a production assistant is the best way to get your foot in the door. Actually, at my time as a theater student for UBC, we had a discussion with a second AD on a decent modestly sized movie that was filming in Vancouver, and he was telling us that literally 3 years before he had been a production assistant, and it really got the ball rolling. You're able to show your work ethic as well as your capabilities through various tasks, and as well you learn what you'll probably be getting into with regards to the industry and actually see if it's something that you're interested in, because it is not an easy industry, ladies and gentlemen. The hours are crazy, and as a production assistant, you're doing shit jobs, but that's where you got to start, unless, I don't know, you're pretty friggin' amazing and you start your own film company and you make a couple short films of your own that you wrote, directed, and acted in, and that's one way to do it, but that is a lot of time, and, well, production assistants a lot of time, too. But those are really the main two things that I know of that you can do. Obviously, there's lots more. You can find lots of these opportunities pretty much anywhere online, obviously. Contact different production companies. You can actually go to creativebc.com. That's www.creativebc.com. You can learn pretty much everything that is currently filming in Vancouver. They have a really extensive list as well. For each thing that's being filmed, they have the director, the producers, the line producer, production address, schedule, an email address for the production offices, and a phone number. So many useful things there. Go to creativebc.com to find out how you could possibly get involved in a variety of projects. All right, everybody, one of the last things we'll be playing on today's episode about comedy in movies. It's a classic, and I'm sure you guys are going to love it, and then we'll have a nice brief discussion as to why it's so freaking amazing.
I think Damien's going to get some great shit out of us. Just wish I had a director like this on Jack.
On Jack? What? Jack, what you talking?
Simple Jack?
Oh, yeah. Simple Jack, yeah, you went all out on that one, huh? You did. You got a swung for the fences, huh?
Thank you. Yeah. Thanks, yeah. Yeah, it was an intense experience. You know, I just did the work. Watched a lot of retarded people. Mm-hmm. Spent time with them, observed them. Watched all the retarded stuff they did.
Then again, I always found mere observation in and of itself is a tad rudimentary. Sometimes we got to dig deeper to mine the true emotional painter. Thus we can diagram the source of the pain and then live it. You know.
Yeah, live it. Yeah, exactly. You know, there were times when I was doing Jack that I actually felt retarded, like really retarded. I mean, I brushed my teeth retarded. I rode bus retarded.
Damn.
In a weird way, I had to sort of just free myself up to believe that it was okay to be stupid or dumb.
To be a moron.
Yeah.
To be moronical.
Exactly. To be a moron.
An imbecile.
Yeah.
Like the dumbest motherfucker that ever lived.
When I was playing the character.
When you was a character.
Yeah, I mean, as Jack, definitely.
Yeah. Jack. Stupid-ass Jack. Trying to come back from that.
In a weird way, it was almost like I had to sort of fool my mind into believing that it wasn't retarded. And by the end of the whole thing, I was like, wait a minute, you know? I flushed so much out, how am I going to jumpstart it up again? It's just like...
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
You was farting in bathtubs and laughing your ass off.
Yeah.
But Simple Jack thought he was smart, or rather didn't think he was retarded, so he can't afford to play retarded being a smart actor. Playing a guy who ain't smart but thinks he is, that's tricky.
Tricky.
It's like working with Mercury. It's high science, man. It's art form.
Yeah.
You an artist.
That's what we do, right?
Yeah. Hats off for going there. Especially knowing how the Academy is about that shit.
Wait. About what?
You're serious? You don't know. Everybody knows you never go full retard.
What do you mean?
Check it out. Dustin Hoffman, Rain Man, look retarded, act retarded. Not retarded. Count toothpicks, cheat cards. Autistic. Sure. Not retarded. You got Tom Hanks, Forrest Gump. Slow, yes, retarded maybe. Braces on his legs. But he charmed the pants off next to him and he won a ping pong competition. That ain't retarded. He was a goddamn war hero. Right. You know any retarded war heroes? You went full retard, man. Never go full retard. You don't buy that? That's Sean Penn, 2001, I am Sam. Remember? Went full retard. Went home empty-handed.
That's a scene from Tropic Thunder. This actually is probably a more debated bit of humor. I personally don't like anything that makes fun of anybody with any sort of handicap, and the word retard in general is just not a nice word, so it makes this scene hard. With that said, though, this scene still incorporates some really, really great moments, just with the fact that Robert Downey Jr.'s character is saying one thing and Ben Stiller's character is hearing something totally indifferent. He's hearing compliments when he's being insulted, and we, the viewer, know that, but obviously the character doesn't. And that just kind of gets built upon and built upon until the very end when Robert Downey Jr. starts listing names of actors and the roles they played and how basically they did it right and Ben Stiller did it wrong. A well-performed scene. The topic could be something that isn't pleasant for anybody and would not warrant humor, but I think there's no doubt about it that this scene is a form of comedy in a movie in itself. They're making fun of other movies. They're, well, not making fun, but they're just kind of poking at the idea that because Tropic Thunder is a movie based on making fun of other characters, I guess you could say, and kind of movie stars with the group that they have, they're making fun of each other and of other stars. I think this is a really, really cool moment for a movie to experience, kind of how an actor could have gone wrong with a past work and not even know it, and being so ignorant as to not seeing the mistakes they've made. I really want this Radio CITR show, Finding the Funny, that I've created to be something that people can contribute to, that people can share their opinions on. So please use the Twitter handle. I'm always looking for different guests to interview or different topics to talk about. It is a variety show that centers around comedy, but I also have passion for sports and music and a bunch of different entertainment forms, so I'm sure that those will incorporate themselves into later episodes. I'll also be posting all the episodes onto SoundCloud, so if you want to listen to them there or listen to different segments or maybe show your friends a bit that I played and try to find out what it's called and you can look up the actual whole special, I'd love that, so check it out on SoundCloud. It'll be called Finding the Funny. Ladies and gentlemen, make sure you keep listening to CITR. Coming up at 7 o'clock, Exploding Hen Movies. Join Gak as he explores music from the movies, tunes from television, and any other cinematic source. That's 7 o'clock, Exploding Hen Movies. Another episode of Finding the Funny coming to a close. Today we talked about movies and comedy in movies, jokes, scenes, all that good stuff. You know how to reach me, Finding the Funny on Twitter. As always, I want to thank everybody who listened today live on the radio 101.9 or whoever's listening on SoundCloud. There's a lot more topics I hope to be able to cover in later episodes. One of the ones I have coming up possibly either next week or the week after will be women in comedy, and I will get some guests to come out onto the show, so you don't want to miss it. Make sure you keep tuning in Mondays at 6 o'clock. Right here on CITR. Wow, this is hard. What are my final thoughts on today's topic? Well, I think movies are pretty calculated now, down to a science in how to make a good movie. Almost, I think, every movie, no matter, I don't want to blanket it, but pretty much every genre will still have jokes in its movie. It's just such a good way to keep the viewers invested, since laughing is obviously such a joyful thing. So I think movies are getting really good about knowing how to include jokes. Even the movie I saw, Moonlight, the other day, which is a very serious movie, I definitely recommend it, and even that had some great jokes throughout, and obviously lots of other movies do too. Think television, obviously, as we all know, with the emergence of Netflix and other platforms, has really changed television and kind of the way we watch it. So I think I definitely want to do a whole episode about comedy in TV and web series and all those new types of filmmaking and watching. From all of us here at Finding the Funny and CITR, have a great rest of your day. And as I like to say, keep on laughing, everybody.
I went to Volunteer Wednesdays at CITR and I met the love of my life. We just celebrated our 40th anniversary.
Thanks to Volunteer Wednesdays at CITR, I'm now the president of the Vegan Hot Dog Appreciation Society.
After going to Volunteer Wednesdays at CITR, I've successfully synthesized a vaccine for two left feet. Now everybody can dance!
Thanks to Volunteer Wednesdays at CITR, I'm now nominated for a Daytime Emmy Award.
If you want to change your life, come to Volunteer Wednesdays at CITR from 11 to 1 every week. No experience is necessary.
Thank you, Volunteer Wednesdays.
This is UBC Arts on Air on CITR in Vancouver.